If anybody was on the fence about working with an agent, moving is like the third most stressful experience that a human being can go through after, I think, a loss and divorce are like one and two. And the amount of stress that you're going to be under through that process of buying, selling, moving, relocating, there could be a job transfer, the transition for you, for your spouse if you have one, kids if you have one. You got to find new places to shop where you're going to get groceries. You got, you know, I mean, just the list goes on and on.
Right, right.
It is incredibly stressful. If you have someone alongside you that basically says, hey, the transaction, I got that. You just focus on your family, and you really simplified that process for us. And I just feel like if there's someone out there that is on the fence about working with an agent, I would just say you just got to do it.
Welcome to the Realty FC podcast, where we educate and give different perspective on local real estate trends from business owners, professionals, and others as we navigate through the complex world of real estate. I'm your host, Chris. This is my co-host, Michelle, as we dive into the twists and turns of the complex real estate world. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing well, Chris. How about you?
I'm doing great. Hey, listen, I got a funny question to ask you.
Okay.
Something I've been rolling around in my head all day.
Okay.
All morning. What would be the one food that you could survive on or that you would eat for the rest of your life?
Now,
think about this. You seem like you were going to answer right away, like you already know.
Well, I know the one food that I could eat every single day. I don't know that it.
You could survive on it?
Necessarily survive on it. All right,
well, what do you got?
Ice cream.
Okay.
Ice cream.
Okay. Yeah. Any particular flavor?
I like them all.
No. There's no way you like them all.
I do. I like them all.
Nobody likes all ice cream.
Well. Now, my favorite, though, would probably be Rocky Road.
Rocky Road. It's got
a little bit of everything in it that I like.
Yeah. So it's not ice cream for me, but I love the Haagen-Dazs ice cream. You ever had the Haagen-Dazs?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. It's a chocolate with peanut butter mixed in.
Mm-hmm,
oh,
mm-hmm.
Man.
Oh, boy.
I eat the whole thing, which is, I think it's like 1,000 calories, which is, we probably don't need to talk about
that. We don't need to talk about that. Absolutely.
Now, for me, I mean, there's a lot of foods I could survive on for the rest of my life, but if I had to pick one food that I've loved as a kid, and I still love to this day, and even my kids love them, is a Reese's Pieces peanut butter cup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know I probably couldn't survive on that, but man, I would love to eat those for the rest of my life.
Well, you know what? My favorite Reese's is at Easter time when they come out with the Reese's eggs.
Oh.
For some reason, those taste so much better than
the
others.
You're right. But I got the Cadbury cream egg, the original.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that definitely is hands down by far the best with the eggs. I mean, I think that was the original.
Yeah.
And then they come out with all these other kind of
eggs. Yeah, there's
eggs.
A lot of different candy bars that have done remakes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm old school back to the original Cadbury cream egg.
Okay.
Okay. Well, look, we got a pretty awesome guest that has navigated through the real estate market in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to talk about, you know, what his experience was and how that went for him.
Okay.
Okay. So let's bring him on.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Welcome to the show. We have Ryan Gordon here. He's a special guest with us for the Realty FC podcast. He was a buyer and seller in today's market, and we're excited to talk to him about what his experience was and how it went for him, what challenges maybe you came across, and what have you. So, Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris.
Welcome
thanks
to the show.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. So, Ryan, before we get into a lot of the details and all that, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I guess first and foremost, I'm married, and my wife, Sarah, is my best friend.
She made you say that, didn't she?
No.
No, I'm just messing with
that's
you.
It, the truth's out. But I feel like that's, between her and then we have two girls, we have a very close-knit family, and so I feel like that's the best thing to say right out of the gate to introduce myself is I'm a family man, and we spend a lot of time together. As far as the professional world, I work for a real estate film and photography company called Absolute Altitude, who you're probably familiar with.
A little bit.
And so we've worked, you know, with you and some other real estate agents and do some commercial work and things as well on the film and photography side, which has been great. So I edit videos and kind of help manage that part of the process of the company, do sound design and things for social media reels and short form, long form content on the hobby side. I love reading. I like reading novels.
Okay. Well, I mean, anything, any kind of particular novel?
I would say mostly right now I've been on a fantasy kick.
Okay.
So there's a fantasy author called Brandon Sanderson, and he's written a handful of things. Well, I would say a lot of things. So I'm about 2,000 pages in so far this year, which has been nice.
Oh, wow.
2,000 pages.
Wow.
Yeah, I do enjoy reading. You know, I enjoy disc golf, and our family loves movies. So we usually do movie night once a week.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we do that too.
Yeah.
So those are the things I would say as far as how we like to spend our time.
I want to know how you find time to read.
I know, right? I usually read every night before bed. That's mm-hmm. kind of, you know, we'll head upstairs and I call it my grandpa chair. It's got a little ottoman, and I've got one of those arc lights. I don't know if you've seen those where it kind of like comes over top of the chair. And it's an LED light, and you could control like how bright it is. And so you can, it has a really low setting where, you know, Sarah can go to sleep and I can just sit there and read for an hour or two before I go to bed. And you can barely tell that it's on because it's just very directional. So that's usually when I do most of my reading.
You're serious.
Yeah.
My wife's a reader too, so, but not me. When I lay in bed, I just want to watch TV.
Yeah.
And eat my ice cream.
I get that.
Yeah.
I like ice cream.
So where are you from? Are you originally from the Winchester area?
No, we're from the Midwest.
Okay.
I just tell people I'm from Wisconsin because that's kind of where I lived the longest before I went off to college, and that's why I'm a Packers fan. But
okay. Well, we'll edit that out on this part.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm just messing with
We'll
you.
Take that out.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and dive in, and let's talk about, you know, your recent experience. You were a seller and a buyer.
Right.
Let's go ahead and start with, you know, the selling aspect of it. How would you have described the market? Because about how long ago did you sell your property? And what did that look like from your perspective?
So we started the process in September of 2023.
Okay.
And we knew that we wanted to use the equity from our current house that we were living in to help us pay for where we were going.
Right.
And so we kind of started that process back in at that time, and we're looking to see what our options were.
Yeah, because you wanted to get something a little bigger. Is that some little more yard? What were you after?
Yeah, so for us, because my wife and I both work from home, and then our girls are homeschooled, so we spend, you know, 100% of our time basically at home. We live, work, and play there. And then with the girls in their school, you know, we were in a townhouse at the time, which we loved, and we'd done a lot of work there and it enjoyed being there, but it just became a little bit more problematic once we were both working from home. There just wasn't enough space for us to really, you know, to feel like we had room to be professionals while being parents, while being a couple, while being a family. And, you know, at the time as well, the girls were sharing a bedroom because we had turned one of the bedrooms into an office, to a home office. And so there just really wasn't enough room in the house for us to feel like we could just live comfortably while working comfortably while they could do school comfortably. So I would say that was the primary reason for us to begin that search.
Well, I mean, all those things that you mentioned, I think, will hit a lot of listeners pretty closely because, you know, a lot of folks are working from home, you know, and you know, the kids that, you know, families grow, so they have to share bedrooms. I mean, we had to do that as well and looking to upscale. So I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people started looking for homes that could accommodate all that during COVID too, because it kind of shifted everybody's lifestyle at that point.
Right, so. Right. Of course. Okay. So that's from the selling perspective. Now from the buying perspective, like, what did you know at the time, like how the market, did you have any insight of where the market was or how you felt about it from the buying perspective?
So for us, there was a lot that was kind of on our minds. I think initially we were concerned about the market as a buyer because of the high interest rates.
Sure, which everyone is.
Right. And at the time, you know, the inventory was low. And, you know, we kind of have an inside track, I guess, in a sense of that we both work for a company that's involved in real estate.
Yeah.
So because of that, we, I guess, have some inclination and understanding of what the market is doing. But outside of the scope of, I would say, that very surface level understanding, there were just a lot of uncertainties and unknowables at the time. And so I think part of us, you know, we're feeling that burden to move and accommodate our family a little bit better. But then there were some uncertainties on the side of what's that's going to look like for us.
Yeah, so I'm sure as you were trying to navigate through all the stresses of the whole moving, buying, and selling process, you're probably thinking, well, how do we get started? Because you're in a situation, which a lot of folks are, where, you know, to move, you have to sell.
Right.
So what does that look like? And did you have any idea of what that entailed? Because, you know, you needed the equity out of your house from your townhouse to be able to then use for the purchase. You know, did you have any indication of how that process worked?
We didn't at the time. Right. So even though we had bought that house back in 2017, that was the extent of our real estate experiences. And so we just, we didn't really have a foundation for that at all. We were very, I would say we were just novices as far as the whole scheme of what that would look like. And so for us there, we really had more questions than anything and very few answers.
So what'd you do? What'd you decide to do to get the process started?
So initially in our conversation, I think the first question we ask is, you know, who should we reach out to as far as agents are concerned? Because we know a lot of real estate agents and have a good working and professional relationship with a lot of real estate agents.
Sure.
So just trying to figure out, okay, we need to talk to a professional because we don't know anything and we'd rather work with a professional on this that can kind of help us navigate that process. And so that was really like the first step in the process for us.
Yeah, I think you saying you didn't know anything, I think you knew more than you realized.
Oh, well, okay, sure.
So don't downplay yourself too much. But so who did you choose and why?
Yeah, so I would say initially for me, I was really trying to find a sucker that I could take advantage of. No, I'm kidding. You know,
I'm sorry I asked that question.
And for people that don't know, we ended up asking Chris to be our agent, both on the buying and the selling side. You know, we wanted to work with someone that we knew and had a working relationship with, but also that knew our family and knew what we were after and that we honestly feel like we could trust. And I think when you don't know or understand certain things, especially in the real estate world, there's a lot of intricacies there. And when you're in that arena, the finances that are involved, the process of buying and selling simultaneously, and everything that goes with that, you need to work with someone that you can trust. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like for us, that was the most important thing. And so that's why we decided to go with Chris as our agent in those transactions.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ryan. And so when I first met with Ryan, his wife Sarah, you know, in their kitchen table, and we were talking about, you know, the process. You know, the point for me and how I like to handle these kind of situations is I'm not there to win your business. I'm there to answer your questions and just help you understand the process. And if you're comfortable with, you know, as we get you comfortable with that, because there's a lot of intricacies, a lot of things that can happen. It's not just black and white. It's very, you know, there's an art to, you know, the madness, believe it or not. So we try to explain as much as we can about what the process could look like in a typical situation. Of course, like I said, it could go either way, a lot of different ways, a lot of negotiation happens. But my first meeting with them is really just to answer their questions and let them, you know, then take time to soak it in and just move at their speed, at their pace. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I approached it, and that's how I like to approach it. Michelle, I mean, would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Absolutely, because you have to build that rapport also with the clients. And when you're comfortable with each other and you're answering their questions, it makes them feel comfortable.
I think comfortable is a great word.
Yeah.
Because we were uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a sense of where you know, we were unwilling, but we were just uncomfortable. And I think that concept, you know, if you ever heard people say that people fear what they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars in transactions for a family, that's a lot of money. Those are big numbers. And then when you're talking about relocating and you're talking about the entire process and it's over a couple of months, we were uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Chris did was when we first sat down was make us feel comfortable. Not just like we had all the answers, but we just felt like he was saying, hey, I'm going to be here alongside you guys through this process.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And it really alleviated a lot of those fears and brought some understanding and some clarity to some of those things that made us feel comfortable with beginning that process. And it's not like he came over for hours and answered every question, but we just were able to take a deep breath, you know, and say, okay, Chris is here and it's going to be good. So let's move forward.
Yeah. I mean, buyers and sellers out there, they move what? Every 5 years. It's not something they do every day.
Right.
We do this pretty much every day.
Right.
So it's totally fine to have questions and not understand things. Even when you get 5-10 years down the road and you're deciding to sell, you're probably going to have a lot of the same questions because you just don't remember that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So I just encourage folks to reach out to, you know, a Realty FC agent and get us in there and let us answer your questions or just give us a call. Anyway, that's enough there. Do you recall any of the challenges that you want to mention throughout both either the buying or selling process that you want to bring up?
Sure. I mean, there were challenges on both sides. I think particularly with selling, there were a lot of stresses and stressors that we just didn't think about until we were staring at them.
Yeah.
Particularly with getting the house ready to sell. Not everybody, I would say, would have like the standards that we would have in terms, and I might speak more specifically to my wife when it comes to how the house is going to be presented.
Yeah, it was immaculate. The house was just absolutely immaculate.
So there was some stress there in getting the house ready for photos, but then also for showings. The house was immaculate if we had a showing. And so, and that's great, right? Because that helps, right? We want to get the place sold.
Yeah.
But I think that was a challenge, just knowing that, okay, for this next foreseeable future, we just kind of need to be ready to pick up and go out, you know, go do some shopping or go out to eat or just get out of the house for a few hours.
Yep.
And that was its own kind of challenge. And for us, since we are primarily at home almost all the time, just that little bit of unsettling, you know, in that process. That was a challenge. But again, you were very communicative and you were on top of things. And so for that process, it in spite of the challenge, it wasn't difficult.
Right.
On the buying side, I think it was just making sure that we were feeling really comfortable with where we were headed. Because inventory was so low, we didn't want to just take whatever came along. Mm-hmm. And so that in and of itself was a challenge. I know when we were looking at our old place, that townhouse, there was tons of stuff out there. Mm-hmm. And it was just a completely different market. And so I would say that was one of the challenges we were heading into on the buying side of really trying to determine what options there were, because it just didn't feel like there was a lot on the table at the time.
Yeah. In addition to all that, I mean, did you have a benefit with having a realtor by your side? You want to talk about any of the benefits that you can recall from either of those transactions?
I mean, it's really hard to articulate, I think. And I'm really not just trying to like puff you guys up and make you guys like look
well,
like,
that's what we want.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So this is when I say, you know, I was your agent. So it is a lot about, you know, Realty FC and myself, but you know, it speaks for all agents and what we're trying to do here, you know, especially at Realty FC. So go ahead.
So especially looking at the market today, and you look at the low inventory and you look at interest rates, and mm-hmm. I feel like people would have a lot of concern heading into this process given those two factors alone. That doesn't include anything else that's involved when it comes to buying and selling a home. And I think for us, we knew from the beginning the only way that this was going to happen for us to, and not just like to survive the experience, but to really step out of it and be like, wow, that was a positive experience, was to partner with an agent. And I alluded to that earlier when I talked about working with an agent you can trust. I think for us, given all the factors involved, you just cannot step into this process without being accompanied by someone that you trust.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You just can't do it. And it's not just answering questions, it's everything involved with the process. And what you guys do, I think, is so incredible, because in any time that there's commission involved, I think people just have kind of a negative, there are negative connotations associated with that. People just assume that you're just there to collect your paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
I know your guys' motto is it's not a transaction, it's a relationship, mm-hmm. right? And so I feel like with you partnering with us, it didn't just feel like you were there to collect your commission. You really wanted what was best for us. And that was meaningful to us. And you wanted to help us find the right lender. You wanted to help us find the right company to close with. You wanted us to find the right house. I remember when we went and looked at our first home, and Michelle, I'm sure you do this too. Mm-hmm. You're honest with the people that you're there with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Chris was honest with us. It was on 3 acres. I don't know if you remember this place.
I don't.
That's okay. It was, and it needed a lot of work.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it checked off some of the boxes.
I do remember now.
Okay.
I do.
And
it did get a contract. It got shortly after you. Yeah.
But, you know, you're like, what do you guys think? And at first, I didn't want to be honest because I was like, I don't want to feel like we wasted Chris's time coming out here. But you like kind of just said, hey, it's good to just come look at a house, see what you like and don't like. But if I can be honest with you guys, this few
acres,
this is going to be a lot of, you know, And then like, and this house kind of needs, and so I just feel like, not that you were trying to persuade us, but just helping us feel okay saying no to something.
Yeah.
And that level of honesty.
That that had a pool and the deck needed a lot. Was that the one?
Yes, okay, that's the one.
Okay, I remember that one. I do, Well, we won't give out the address.
No.
I'm sure it's a lovely home.
No, I mean, and that's fine. And it's nothing against that. But I think that side of honesty really meant something
Well,
to
and
us,
you know, I think sometimes, too, clients feel like they are wasting a realtor's time. And I tell my clients all the time, it's never a waste of my time to figure out what you really want or don't want.
Right.
And what's going to fit your needs the best. There, you know, I've shown a lot of homes to an individual buyer before, and I know sometimes they feel like they're wasting my time, or maybe they might, you know, be frustrating me or their agent or whoever they're working with, but it's not, because it is all about you.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a good point you bring up, Michelle, and I think so the trust and relationship and the loyalty all go both ways. So, you know, we're here putting, you know, your best interest in, you know, at the top of our list. And then all we ask in return is that the clients work with us, you know, exclusively.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, they walk into a new construction, you know, they see homes on Zillow or whatever website they use, and they decide to call the listing agent when, you know, they're working with us and we've been out showing them a bunch of homes. You know, we want that same loyalty and trust and just work with us and, you know, and it's a relationship.
Yeah, and I definitely felt that. And I think if anybody was on the fence about working with an agent, because I know that on the commission side, it's a big number there in terms of money, right? But moving is like the third most stressful experience that a human being can go through after, I think, a loss and divorce are like one and two. And the amount of stress that you're going to be under through that process of buying, selling, moving, relocating, there could be a job transfer, the transition for you, for your spouse if you have one, kids if you have one, you got to find new places to shop, where you're going to get groceries, you got, you know, I mean, just the list goes on and on.
Right, right.
It is incredibly stressful. And if you have someone alongside you that basically says, hey, the transaction, the process, I got that. You just focus on your family and doing what's best for your family. I just need you to chime in here or there, make a decision here or there, yes or no here. And you really simplified that process for us. And I just feel like if there's someone out there that is on the fence about working with an agent, I would just say, you just got to do it. And you can't really put a price tag on that because it is stressful, and not having to worry about that, man, it just was a huge burden off our shoulders.
Yeah. I want to make it clear that, you know, in most cases, being a buyer's agent, so we represent the buyer, is no cost to the buyer.
Right.
So that's important that maybe a lot of people might not know. Don't hesitate that it's going to be expensive to work with an agent from a buying perspective.
Right. I agree.
Don't want to throw that out there. So let's continue on. I appreciate all that. Your overall experience, I mean, how would you rate that? Pretty good?
It was positive.
Like it.
I mean, it was very positive for us. You know, it was so smooth. I think even though it was stressful, the communication from you on all facets was great. And I know you guys communicate. It's not like we were only your only clients.
Right.
You communicate with a lot of people. There's a lot of moving parts. But getting us hooked up with the right lender, communicating with that, getting us, you know, connected with different properties.
Right. I remember, you know, getting your house ready for market. We were talking to a couple different vendors. You know, I was recommending some folks and some landscapers that were, you know, willing to work with our situation. And so, yeah, I think, you know, having an agent that has those kind of contacts is certainly helpful, because there's a lot of that could certainly go on. And You know, in the market that we're in today, you know, let's talk a little bit about when we made the offer on the property. You know, we were able to, I mean, would you agree that we were able to negotiate some terms? Like, you know, we worked on price, we worked on inspections, you know, maybe even a closing cost credit. I mean, we worked on all those things.
We did.
Which you're seeing in today's market. Now, you know, and what everyone seems to be saying is as the interest rates start coming down, mm-hmm. Some of those aspects are going to start changing. I mean, we've been there, we lived it, right?
Oh, yeah. During COVID. Sure did.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't get any of those. In fact, you were having to pay more than mm-hmm. what, you know, a seller certainly could be asking for. You couldn't do the home inspection mm-hmm. or any other kind of inspections. You certainly weren't getting a closing cost credit. And sometimes you had to let the seller stay in the house after it was sold for free, rent free.
Oh my gosh.
To win the deal. Mm-hmm. So it certainly has changed, you know, from that perspective, it's a benefit. Now, if you are selling and buying and you're staying somewhat in the same area, it's all relative. Yeah, you might sell for less. So if you're waiting for the market to go higher, yeah, you might sell for more, but guess what? Now you're going to be buying for more.
Right.
Whereas, like I was saying, you could sell for less and, you know, buy for less. So it's all pretty relative when it comes to that perspective. Any advice that you would give anyone, buyers and sellers out there in today's market?
I mean, I think I would just tell people to not just exclude themselves from the process of buying or selling just because the market is what it is.
There's advantages out there.
And you just alluded to that with what you said. There are advantages for when the market's like this, just like there are advantages for when the market's like it was a few years ago. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of competitive offers, but then when you go to buy your next place, then you're dealing with that. So mm-hmm. I just feel like the market is always going to be in flux, and then there's always going to be intricacies. And I mean, you just said a lot of stuff in terms of like closing costs and vendors and all this stuff. I mean, there are terms that your average consumer they're not going to know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like rather than just exclude yourself from the process because of what you don't know or aren't certain of, just find someone that you can trust that is a great agent that you can have a relationship with, because you're working with this person usually for at least a couple of months. Yep. And, you know, find someone that you can connect with that will help advocate for you and your family. And just know that if it is a trustworthy person, and I don't know all of your Realty FC agents, but at least for you guys, that is really going to act in what's in the best interest for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's our motto. It's not just a transaction, it's a relationship. So I think, you know, we all strive on that philosophy here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You've given us a lot of information today, but I have to ask you, and because you're also in somewhat of the real estate industry, being in the photography business and the video business, where do you see the real estate market heading for the rest of, let's say, 2024? In your opinion?
In my opinion? I mean, I definitely think that the interest rates are going to come down. Which even if we were buying now, I would still buy now, because even if they do come down in 6 months, you can refinance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that actually was that's why we decided to buy when we did, because it's something that we're anticipating. But I think for where the market's headed, I do think that's going to happen. I'm sure inventory is going to come up. We're already seeing that happen on our end of things.
I would say you should see it firsthand.
Yeah, we do. Things picked up, I would say, even sooner this year than maybe we had anticipated and sooner than in previous years. I mean, things really started getting kind of busy for us, you know, weeks ago, maybe even like end of January, early February, which was way earlier than last year. So
let me ask you something. You know how usually this time of year people start thinking about the spring market?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we haven't really seen a spring market for quite a few years, because it seems like year round people are putting their houses on the market. They're not necessarily waiting for springtime. Have you seen that over the last few years?
Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, I can add on to that. I mean, did you see, so maybe to add to that, did you see a slowdown during the wintertime and now you're starting to see things pick back up? Because that might be the indicator of a potential spring market.
Yep.
I mean, I would say yes to that, but I don't feel like the spring market has been the spring market, at least these last 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's been very consistently, I would say from like February, March, all the way through September, October, mm-hmm. was pretty steady.
Brutal. Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't like there was a summer slowdown or a fall slowdown. It was really only like November slowdown a little bit. And then December, January were kind of slower. There's still some activity. So I feel like in the terms of what I would assume is a traditional, you know, spring, you know, fling or whatever it's called, in the market, I don't feel like that's what's been happening the last 2 years. Okay. And it doesn't seem that that's going to be the case this year either.
Okay. The reason I ask is I met with a new seller client yesterday. And when I showed them the comps of everything sold in the last 6 months, they were very surprised to see the number of sales because they didn't expect to see that through the winter time. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and I'm glad to hear that insight as well, because I have sellers that are, you know, toying around with the ideas, do we list now or do we wait a month? So I definitely appreciate that insight. Yeah. Well, Ryan, I won't keep you much longer. I appreciate you coming on to the show.
It's great. Thanks for the invitation.
I think the information that we're giving the folks out there about today's market in the buying and selling perspective, I think was all good. A lot of takeaways there. Michelle, you have anything you want to add?
Oh, I can't think of anything.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Real TFC podcast. The key to success is knowledge, right? So please like, share, and subscribe, and catch you on the next episode of the Real TFC podcast.